Messages to the Baha'i World, cassette number 4, side 2, continuing now from page 100.
A major turning point. The crusade on which the army of the Lord of Hosts has so joyously and confidently embarked now stands at a major turning point in the history of its marvelous unfoldment. 3 years of magnificent exploits achieved for the propagation of the light of an immortal and infinitely precious faith and for the strengthening of the fabric of its administrative order now lie behind it. A spirit of abnegation and self-sacrifice, so rare that only the spirit of the dawnbreakers of a former age can be said to have surpassed it, has consistently animated, singly as well as collectively, its participants in every clime, of all classes, of either sex, and of every age. A treasure immense in its range has been willingly and lovingly expended to ensure its systematic and successful prosecution. Already a few heroic souls have either quaffed the cup of martyrdom or laid down their lives or been subjected to diverse ordeals while combating for its cause. Its repercussions have spread so far as to alarm a not inconsiderable element among the traditional and redoubtable adversaries of its courageous and consecrated prosecutors. Indeed, as it has forged ahead, it has raised up new enemies intent on obstructing its forward march and on defeating its purpose. Premonitory signs can already be discerned in far-off regions, heralding the approach of the day when troops will flock to its standard, fulfilling the predictions uttered long ago by the supreme captain of its forces. Before the eyes of the warriors enlisting under its banner, stretch fields of exploration and consolidation of such vastness as might well dazzle the eyes and strike awe into the heart any soul less robust than those who have arisen to identify themselves with its cause. The heights its champions must scale are indeed formidable. Pitfalls that bestrew their path are still numerous. The road leading to ultimate and total victory is tortuous, stony, and narrow. Theirs, however, is the emphatic assurance revealed by the pen of the Most High, prime mover of the forces unleashed by this world-girdling crusade, that whosoever ariseth to aid our cause, God will render him victorious over 10 times 10,000 souls, and should he wax in his love for me, him will we cause to triumph over all that is in heaven and all that is on earth. Putting on the armor of his love, firmly buckling on the shield of his mighty covenant, mounted on the steed of steadfastness, holding aloft the lamp of the word of the Lord of Hosts, and with unquestioning reliance on his promises as the best provision for their journey, let them set their faces toward those fields that still remain unexplored, and direct their steps to those goals that are as yet unattained, assured that he who has led them to achieve such triumphs, to store up such prizes in his kingdom, will continue to assist them in enriching their spiritual birthright to a degree that no finite mind can imagine or human heart perceive. Shoghi, April 1956. Evidences of the resistless march of the World Crusade. At this auspicious hour, marking yet another milestone in the progress of the divinely guided, world-embracing, steadily consolidating community of the followers of the faith of Baha'u'llah, I feel once again impelled to share with the elected representatives of the vast majority of its avowed supporters, assembled on the occasion of the convocation of the 24 Baha'i conventions being held simultaneously in the American, the European, the Asiatic, the African, and the Australian continents, the latest evidences of its resistless march along the path traced for it by both its founder and the appointed center of his covenant. The year that has just expired, signalized at the hour of its birth by the emergence of three regional spiritual assemblies on the northern fringes, in the heart, and at the southern extremity of the long dormant African continent, and ushering in the third phase of a decade-long world-encompassing spiritual crusade, has, as we look back on the triumphs and trials that have marked its course, accelerated to a notable extent the two parallel processes of integration and disintegration associated respectively with the rising fortunes of God's infant faith and the sinking fortunes of the institutions of a declining civilization. Indeed, as we gaze in retrospect beyond the immediate past and survey in however cursory a manner the vicissitudes afflicting an increasingly tormented society, and recall the strains and stresses to which the fabric of a dying order has been increasingly subjected, we cannot but marvel at the sharp contrast presented on the one hand by the accumulated evidences of the orderly unfoldment and the uninterrupted multiplication of the agencies of an administrative order designed to be the harbinger of a world civilization, and on the other, by the ominous manifestations of acute political conflict, of social unrest, of racial animosity, of class antagonism, of immorality, and of irreligion, proclaiming in no uncertain terms the corruption and obsolescence of the institutions of a bankrupt order. Portentous prophecies. Against the background of these afflictive disturbances, the turmoil and tribulations of a travailing age, we may well ponder the portentous prophecies uttered well nigh fourscore years ago by the author of our faith, as well as the dire predictions made by him who is the unerring interpreter of his teachings, all foreshadowing a universal commotion of a scope and intensity unparalleled in the annals of mankind. The violent derangement of the world's equilibrium, the trembling that will seize the limbs of mankind, the radical transformation of human society, the rolling up of the present day order, the fundamental changes affecting the structure of government, the weakening of the pillars of religion, the rise of dictatorships, the spread of tyranny, the fall of monarchies, decline of ecclesiastical institutions, the increase of anarchy and chaos, the extension and consolidation of the movement of the left, the fanning into flame of the smoldering fire of racial strife, the development of infernal engines of war, the burning of cities, the contamination of the atmosphere of the earth, these stand out as the signs and portents that must either herald or accompany the retributive calamity which, as decreed by him who is the judge and redeemer of mankind, must sooner or later afflict a society which, for the most part and for over a century, has turned a deaf ear on the voice of God's messenger in this day, a calamity which must purge the human race of the dross of its age-long corruptions and weld its component parts into a firmly knit, world-embracing fellowship, a fellowship destined in the fullness of time to be incorporated in the framework and to be galvanized by the spiritualizing influences of a mysteriously expanding, divinely appointed order, and to flower in the course of future dispensations into a civilization the like of which mankind has at no stage in its evolution witnessed. Parallel with this process of progressive deterioration in human affairs, now visibly gathering momentum outside the pale of the faith of Baha'u'llah, and recalling the convulsions which, on a far more restricted scale, sees the declining empire in the opening centuries of the Christian era, far less spectacular in its manifestations, has been the process of integration, as demonstrated by the increasing cohesion, the multiplication, and the reinforcement of the foundations of the institutions of the embryonic Baha'i world order, which now, under the impact of the forces released by a world spiritual crusade, deriving its authority from the will and testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, and launched for the express purpose of executing the divine plan bequeathed by him to his followers in the evening of his life, is contributing, unnoticed, by a generation forgetful of its God, and already in the shadow of his visitation, to the building up, slowly but irresistibly, of that ark of human salvation ordained as the ultimate haven of a society destined for the most part to be submerged by the tidal wave of the abuses and evils which its own perversity has engendered. Victory over ecclesiastical forces. The fourth year of this 10-year crusade, endowed with such tremendous potentialities, as witnessed in the cradle of the faith, and in direct consequence of the strenuous, the concerted, and persistent efforts exerted by the champion builders of this embryonic world order, holding aloft the standard of an unconquerable faith in the American and European continents, and reinforced by the voice of men of eminence in both the East and the West, and particularly by responsible officials occupying high positions in various agencies of the United Nations, a victory over the ecclesiastical forces leagued against it, and a fanatical population determined to extirpate its root and branch, a victory which must rank as one of the most striking among those won in the formative age of the Baha'i dispensation. The numerous properties serving, for the most part, as the administrative headquarters of the faith, and scattered throughout the provinces of that sorely tried land, outstanding among which is the House of the Bab in Shiraz, the holiest spot in that country, the scene of the birth of his revelation and the ordained center of pilgrimage, have, pursuant to orders issued by the central authorities in Tehran, been returned to their owners, despite the protests of a relentless and powerful clergy, the agitation of a hostile population, and the important demands made by prominent members of the legislature to outlaw and disendow the faith, confiscate its literature, raze to the ground its principal edifices, deport its chief supporters, and root it out of the provinces. A firm and categorical assurance has, moreover, been given by the chief magistrate and the head of his cabinet to the national representatives of the Persian Baha'i community, that their national administrative headquarters in Tehran, together with all its furnishing, books, and documents, which have thus far been kept intact in that edifice, will be restored. While so conspicuous a victory has been registered by a persecuted faith in the land of its birth over the combined forces of its traditional adversaries, its stalwart standard bearers in both hemispheres have, in accordance with their solemn pledges, given at the time of the inception of the 10-year crusade, been pursuing their historic task of enlarging the orbit and of consolidating the institutions of a rapidly maturing administrative order. Achievements of World Crusade. The number of territories included within the pale of the faith, embracing all the sovereign states and chief dependencies of the planet, has now, in consequence of this prodigious effort, been raised to 251 as a result of the opening of the island of Anticosti in the North Atlantic Ocean by the Knight of Baha'u'llah, Mary Zabaltning, of the arrival of a pioneer in Mafia Island off the coast of Tanganyika, and of the news received recently of the presence of a few followers of the faith in the Soviet republics of Tajikistan and of Kyrgyzstan, almost doubling within the space of 4 years the total number of territories opened in the course of 11 decades of Baha'i history. of the 131 territories listed in the 10-year plan. Only Spitsbergen, Nicobar Islands, and the Chagos Archipelago, as well as 11 territories which are either incorporated in the Soviet Union or are included within its orbit, remain to be opened by the band of intrepid warriors intent upon enlarging the limits and spreading far and wide the fame of the faith of the Hao Lam. Every single territory of the 120 mentioned by the author of the Divine Plan in his memorable tablets is now open to his father's faith. Proclaiming the exemplary fidelity of his followers to the dearest wishes expressed by the center of the covenant in those tablets. The total number of localities where the followers of the Most Great Name now reside has, as a result of their unprecedented scattering over the surface of the globe, exceeded the 4,200 mark, representing an increase of no less than 1,000 centers in the course of the last 2 years. Of these localities, foci of the warming and healing light of an all and all conquering revelation, over 100 are now established in Australasia, over 110 in the British Isles, over 110 in the Gold Countries of Europe, over 110 in the Dominion of Canada, over 130 in Latin America, over 130 in Germany and Austria, over 140 in the Indian subcontinent, over 210 in the Pacific area, over 550 in the African continent, over 980 in Persia, over 1460 in the United States of America. The northernmost outpost of the faith has now been pushed far beyond the Arctic Circle, as far as 76 degrees latitude, in consequence of the arrival of William Carr, a Canadian believer, in Thule, Greenland, a settlement situated 3 degrees above Arctic Bay, Franklin, the most northerly center hitherto established in the Baha'i world. The number of local spiritual assemblies organized in all the continents of the globe, constituting the broad and indestructible foundation of the edifice of a rising order, now exceeds 1,000, an increase of more than 100 in the space of a single year. The number of islands now within the pale of the faith, situated in the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the Indian Oceans, as well as in the Mediterranean and the North Sea, is now over 100, 74 of which have been opened since the inauguration of the World Spiritual Crusade, including 5 islands situated in the Atlantic and Indian Oceans and not listed as objectives of the 10-year plan. The number of languages into which the continually expanding literature of the faith has been and is being translated has risen to 230, representing an increase of 40 in the course of 1 year. 75 of these languages are included in the 91 named in the 10-year plan, while 66 have been added to those originally specified in the provisions of that same plan. Of this widely disseminated literature, 7 books have been lately presented by an adherent of the faith residing in Christchurch, New Zealand, to the officer in charge of the American Antarctic Expedition for its library, while others have been dispatched beyond the Antarctic Circle as far south as the expedition's base at McMurdo Sound, 77 degrees latitude, on the shores of the Ross Sea. The number of incorporated spiritual assemblies, whether local or national, in all the continents of the globe, has now swelled to 195, more than 90 of which are situated in the United States of America. Outstanding among those that have been recently registered are the assemblies of Bern, Switzerland, Frankfurt, Germany, Luxembourg, Brisbane, Australia, Scarborough, Canada, Alagar, India, Mastung, Pakistan, Puncao, Peru, Cochabamba, Bolivia, Colombo, Ceylon, Kuala Lumpur, Malaya, Asmara, Eritrea, Monrovia and Balmy Hills, Liberia, Turabu, Gilbert and Elise Islands, Barobai, Amatai, Indonesia, and Simatlu Sabai, Simatlu Ulu, Sepajet, and Tawi Islands. Of the 49 national Hazaratal Kuts enumerated in the 10-year plan, all but three have already been established, involving the expenditure of over $570,000, raising thereby the value of all the edifices serving as the national administrative headquarters of the faith in all the continents of the globe to over $2.5 million. Of the 51 countries in which, in accordance with that same plan, national Baha'i endowments are to be purchased within the space of a decade, as many as 49 have achieved their goals through the expenditure of a sum estimated at more than $130,000. The number of sovereign states, dependencies, as well as territories, federal districts, and states of the United States of America, where the Baha'i marriage certificate is recognized, is now over 30. The latest additions being Vietnam, Gilbert and Ellis Islands, Indonesia, and Liberia. The number of countries, states, as well as cities of the United States, where the educational authorities have recognized the Baha'i holy days, now exceeds 45, among which are included Israel, the British Isles, Samoa, Liberia, Tanganyika, states of Victoria, and of South Australia. Mention in this connection, moreover, should be made of the recognition officially extended by the authorities of H.M. Kitalia Farm Prison in Uganda, which recently converted Baha'i inmates to observe these same holy days. The Qibla of a World Community. In the Holy Land, the Qibla of a World Community, the heart from which the energizing influences of a vivifying faith continually stream, in the seat and center around which the diversified activities of the divinely appointed administrative order revolve. Following upon the termination of the construction of the Bab's Holy Sepulcher, marking the closing of the first chapter in the history of the evolution of the central institutions of a world faith, a marked progress in the rise and establishment of these institutions has been clearly noticeable. The remaining 22 pillars of the International Baha'i Archives, the initial edifice heralding the establishment of the Baha'i World Administrative Center on Mount Carmel, have been erected. The last half of the 900 tons of stone ordered in Italy for its construction have reached their destination, enabling the exterior of the building to be completed, while the 44 tons of glazed green tiles manufactured in Utrecht to cover the 500 square meters of roof have been placed in position, the whole contributing to an unprecedented degree through its colorfulness, its classic style and graceful proportions, and in conjunction with the stately golden-crowned mausoleum rising beyond it, to the unfolding glory of the central institutions of a world faith nestling in the heart of God's holy mountain. Simultaneous with this striking development, the plan designed to ensure the extension and completion of the ark, serving as a base for the erection of future edifices constituting the World Baha'i Administrative Center, has been successfully carried out. The dilapidated house, situated in the close neighborhood of Baha'u'llah's shrine, recently acquired from the Development Authority of the State of Israel, because of its historic associations, has been restored. Negotiations, moreover, have been initiated with that same authority for the acquisition of two plots to the north and south of the shrine for the purpose of safeguarding its precincts from a further extension of the new settlement springing up rapidly in the plain of Akka. Steps have also been taken to register the title deeds of a centrally located plot originally owned by a covenant breaker and abutting on the National Archives in the name of the Israel branch of the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the British Isles. further blow has been struck at the remnants of the implacable enemies of Abdu'l-Bahá, the breakers of his father's covenant, still living in the immediate vicinity of the holiest shrine of the Baha'i world. Through the destruction of a row of ruinous sheds which had been under their control, through orders issued by the municipal authorities of Akka. And lastly, an expropriation order has been published in the Israel Official Gazette by the Treasury Department of Israel relating to buildings enclosed within the Harami Akta, aiming at the eviction of these same enemies from the outer sanctuary of Baha'u'llah's sepulcher, following upon the evacuation by them to the mansion at Baji after 20 years of occupancy, and which, when carried out, will mark the final cleansing after more than 65 years of the immediate surroundings of the holiest spot in the Baha'i world. Nor can I dismiss this subject related to the progress achieved in the development of Baha'i international institutions in the Holy Land without a special reference to the continual extension and embellishment of the international endowments of the faith in the plain of Akka and on the slopes of Mount Carmel, the value of which now exceeds $5,200,000, as well as to the ever-swelling crowds of visitors flocking to the Baha'i shrine in both of these places, and particularly to the number of those entering the Tomb of the Bab, which during a single day, in a 3-hour period, has exceeded 1,000. The 10-year plan in the United States. In the United States of America, the cradle and citadel of the embryonic world order of Baha'u'llah, the elected national representatives of the American Baha'i community, acting as the representatives of the international Baha'i community, charged with the defense of the cause of their persecuted brethren in the cradle of the faith, have energetically pursued their efforts through representations made to the United Nations officials and agencies in New York and Geneva, through their contact with high-ranking officials of the American State Department, and through measures of publicity in the American press, all culminating in the victory won over the adversaries of the faith to which reference has been made earlier in these pages. The landscaping of the temple area, including the operation of the 9 fountains, as envisaged by Abdu'l-Bahá, has been completed at a cost of $225,000. The number of visitors who, since public guiding has been instituted, have flocked to the doors of this Mother Temple of the West, now standing amidst such attractive surroundings, has exceeded 700,000, whilst more than 3,000 have entered its doors in the course of a single day. Authorization has, moreover, been recently given by the Wilmette Village Board for the construction of the Home for the Aged, the first dependency of the Mashrikal Ashkar. The value of national and local endowments owned by and under the control of that community, whose members have so spontaneously and effectively championed the cause of the persecuted and the downtrodden, and so generously contributed to their relief in the past, is now $4.5 million. The number of American Indian tribes with which contact has been established in the Western Hemisphere, an achievement in which members of this community have played a leading role, is now over 45. No less than 18 American Indian tribes are now represented in the Baha'i communities of that same hemisphere, mainly as a result of the assiduous endeavors exerted by the members of this community. The number of territories, federal districts, and states where official authorization for the conduct of Baha'i marriages has been obtained is now 28, whilst the number of localities in that same country where the Baha'i holy days are officially recognized is one short of 40. In the African continent. In the African continent, where the momentum gained in the process of propagation of the faith and the consolidation of its newly born administrative institutions has exceeded the rate of progress achieved in every other continent of the globe, and particularly since the emergence a year ago of 3 regional spiritual assemblies, The number of the adherents of the faith, including those in the newly opened islands off the eastern and western coasts of that vast continent, is now well over 3,500, over 3,000 of whom are Negroes. The number of localities where the followers of Baha'u'llah reside is over 550. The number of tribes represented in these flourishing communities has reached 197. The number of languages into which Baha'i literature has been and is being translated is over 70. Also, the number of local spiritual assemblies constituting the bedrock of a solidly established order is approaching 150. In the Pacific area. In the Pacific area, where Baha'i exploits bid fair to outshine the feats achieved in any other ocean, and indeed in every continent of the globe, now competing for the palm of victory with the African continent itself, preliminary measures have been undertaken for the formation of no less than 3 of the 13 national and regional spiritual assemblies which are to be established in the course of this year's Rizwan festivities. These 3 assemblies, the seats of which are to be located in Japan, in Indonesia, and in the Dominion of New Zealand, are destined to function in regions where the yellow, the brown, and white races predominate, and in which the majority of the inhabitants belong either to the Buddhist, the Muslim, or Christian faiths. In so vast and promising an area, blessed by the labors of 2 hands of the cause of God, the number of localities where Baha'is reside, which in the concluding years of the apostolic age of the faith had barely reached 10, has now swelled to over 210, scattered over no less than 40 islands. It already boasts over 1,700 believers of the brown race alone, more than 50 local spiritual assemblies, 5 national Hazaratal Kuts, 3 Baha'i schools, 21 incorporated local spiritual assemblies, 4 states where Baha'i national endowments have been established, a site purchased for its first projected Mashrikal Azkar, 3 territories where the Baha'i marriage certificate is recognized, and 3 others where Baha'i children have been allowed to observe the Baha'i holy days, as well as the translation of Baha'i literature in no less than 50 of the languages current among its indigenous populations. It, moreover, prides itself on the initiation of teaching activities in no less than 100 of the 400 islands constituting one of its numerous southern archipelagos. The mother temples of 3 continents. So brilliant and diversified a record of service to the cause of Baha'u'llah in both the eastern and western hemispheres has been greatly enriched by the plans now initiated for the launching of an ambitious threefold enterprise designed to compensate for the disabilities suffered by the sorely tried community of the followers of his faith in the land of his birth, aiming at the erection in localities as far apart as Frankfurt, Sydney, and Kampala of the mother temples of the European, the Australian, and African continents at a cost of approximately $1 million, complementing the temples already constructed in the Asiatic and American continents. 1/3 of this sum I gladly and with grateful heart pledge at this auspicious hour, a sum which, when added to the funds already donated for this laudable purpose, amounting to $140,000, over $100,000 of which represents the munificent donation of the hand of the cause, Amelia Collins, will constitute well nigh half of the entire amount required to ensure the consummation of this stupendous, epoch-making undertaking. The designs for these sacred fanes to be raised to the glory of the founder of our faith and dedicated to the worship of the one true God have, in the case of the Australian and African temples, been already executed by the hand of the cause, Mason Remy, whilst the design for the German temple has been completed by the German architect, Tueto Rochal, all 3 of which will be exhibited for the first time to the assembled delegates of the 13 historic Baha'i National Conventions being held for the first time during this year's Rizwan Festival. The excavation of the foundations of the African Temple has already commenced, whilst plans and specifications are being prepared by a well-known firm in Kampala. The construction of the Australian Temple has, moreover, been placed in the hands of a reliable Sydney architect who will have completed the detailed drawings and specifications by the 1st of Rizwan and contemplates beginning work on the foundations by next June and completing the building by March 1959. To the national and local spiritual assemblies, more than 1,000 in number, to groups as well as individuals in every continent of the globe, and in whatever island they may be laboring in the service of this glorious faith, I direct an earnest plea to arise now that the prodigious task of the purchase of more than 40 national Hazaratal coots and the establishment of Baha'i national endowments in nearly 50 countries has been triumphantly consummated, and display at this hour when the global spiritual crusade has just passed the third wave point self-same solidarity, generosity, tenacity, and single-mindedness which they have consistently demonstrated since its inauguration 4 years ago, which have ensured the success of some of the most arduous enterprises launched under the 10-year plan, and which, in the decades preceding its inception, have brought to a glorious culmination the task of erecting the first two mashrikal ashkars of the Baha'i world. Knights of Baha'u'llah and heroic pioneers. A special tribute, I feel, should be paid in this survey of worldwide Baha'i achievements to the heroic band of pioneers, and particularly to the company of the Knights of Baha'u'llah, who, as a result of their indomitable spirit, courage, steadfastness, and self-abnegation, have achieved in the course of 4 brief years, in so many of the virgin territories newly opened to his faith, a measure of success far exceeding the most sanguine expectations. Such a success reflected in both the numerical strength of these territories and the range and solidity of the achievements of the Baha'i crusaders responsible for their opening and development has surpassed to an unbelievable extent the goals set for them under the 10-year plan. To Uganda, opened on the eve of the global crusade, with a number of the avowed adherents of the faith has now passed the 1,100 mark, and the number of Baha'i centers exceeds 180. To the Gilbert and Elise Islands and Gambia, where the number of the believers has reached 500 and 300 respectively, must be added Mentawai Island, where adult Baha'is now number over 1,100. The British Cameroons with well nigh 300 adult Baha'is. Mauritius with over 70. Basutoland with over 50. Rwanda, Urundi, and the Seychelles, each with over 30. Spanish Morocco, Reunion Island, French Cameroons, British Togoland, French Togoland, Sikkim, the Canary Islands, British Guiana, Cape Verde Island, Ashanti Protectorate, Swaziland, South Rhodesia, each with over 20. And Key West, French Equatorial Africa, Cook Islands, Balearic Islands, French Somaliland, Italian Somaliland, Cyprus, Morocco International Zone, Samoa Island, Mariana Island, New Hebrides Island, Solomon Island, Portuguese Timor, Bechuanaland, Northern Territories Protectorate, Bahama Island, and Rooney, each with between 10 and 20. Conferences and institutes. Nor should reference be omitted in these pages to the surprisingly numerous conferences and institutes which in the course of the last 12 months have been organized by the enterprising, the indefatigable and vigilant members of the high communities in various parts of the world, supplementing the multiple activities carried on with such splendid vigor in the course of the prosecution of the 10-year plan. A mere enumeration of these institutes and conferences will serve to reveal their diversity and scope and demonstrate the earnestness with which their organizers and participants are discharging their primary obligations to propagate their faith.
This is the end of cassette number 4, ending near the top of page 114. Please turn to cassette number 5.